Our promise of comfort and forgiveness this morning is taken from the prophet Zechariah, chapter 8, verses 1 through 23. Zechariah 8, 1 through 23. Again, the word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Zion. I am burning with jealousy for her. This is what the Lord says. I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with cane in hand because of his age. The city's streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. This is what the Lord Almighty says. It may seem marvelous to the remnant of this people at that time, but will it seem marvelous to me, declares the Lord Almighty? This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will save my people from the countries of the east and the west. I will bring them back to live in Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God. This is what the Lord Almighty says. You who now hear these words spoken by the prophets, who were there when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord Almighty, let your hands be strong so that the temple may be built. Before that time, there were no wages for man or beast. No one could go about his business safely because of his enemy, for I had turned every man against his neighbor. But now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as I did in the past, declares the Lord Almighty. The seed will grow, the vine will yield its fruit, the ground will produce its crop, and the heavens will drop their dew. I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of this people. As you have been an object of cursing among the nations, O Judah and Israel, so will I save you, and you will be a blessing. Do not be afraid, but let your hands be strong. This is what the Lord just as I had determined to bring disaster upon you and showed no pity when your fathers angered me, to Jerusalem and Judah. Do not be afraid. These are the things you are to do. Speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgment in your courts. Do not plot evil against your neighbor and do not love to swear falsely. I hate all this, declares the Lord. Again, the word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The fasts of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months will become joyful and glad occasions and happy festivals for Judah. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come. And the inhabitants of one city will go to another and say, let us go at once to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going. And many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty and to entreat Him. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 men from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, arise and hear the good news. As the Holy Spirit testifies in God's Word, all those who believe one Lord, by one faith, and by one baptism, are promised the forgiveness of the Father, the victory of the Son, and the glory and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Let us sing unto God joyfully for the salvation He gives us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Our sermon text continues our sermon series in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. And this morning we're in Ephesians 4, starting at verse 17, and we'll go in Ephesians 5, verse 6. Ephesians 4:17 through Ephesians 5, verse 6. Brothers and sisters, the word of the true and the living God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Ephesians 4:17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For all this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I mentioned at the offset of the worship service of the birth of the new day each morning. I don't know if any of you have experienced this, any of you ever been up before sunrise in the morning. But the sun shines its light upon God's creation. Every day has a new beginning. The Lord raises us up from our sleep to live in the new day he has given us, a new day walking in newness of life. Now the theme of walking is a strong one in Paul's letter, to the Ephesians. In chapter 2, Paul reminded the Ephesian Christians that when they were dead in their trespasses and sins, they walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the air. When they were in their sin, they walked in darkness. That is what we were. But now, you have been saved by grace. You've been saved by grace through faith. It is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, lest no man boasts. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, so that we should walk in them. Now there is a former walk in which sinners live. They walk according to darkness. They walk according to death. They are enslaved to sin. That's what we were apart from Jesus Christ. Now that God is working His redemptive plan, we are saved in Christ to walk in a new life, a new manner. Last Lord's Day, we heard from Ephesians 4, verse 1. Paul implored the Ephesians Christians, because of all the grace and all the riches that He's lavished on you, His people, walk. Walk in the manner worthy of your calling. Walk like Christians. So with that theme in mind, we open this week's section in chapter 4, continuing the theme of walking. Verse 17, Paul says, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer walk. Okay, and the NIV says live. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Our walk is our lifestyle. The way we live is the way we walk. The Apostle Paul exhorted his readers, don't walk like the Gentiles do. That's not how we do it. That's not how we live. Don't walk like them. How ought we to walk, Paul? Verse 18. Or why should we not walk like them? Because they're darkened in their understanding. They are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they are given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Does that sound like how we ought to walk? No. That's how the Gentiles walk. They are darkened in sin. They are apart from God. And Paul says they are ignorant. Why are they ignorant? Because of the hardness in their hearts. It's not that they've never been taught, they never went to school, that they know nothing of the world. It's because of a heart issue in them. What we think and what we know is a moral issue. If we reject God and His truth, He gives us over to ourselves. He gives us over to insanity apart from Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If you reject Jesus Christ, you reject the only way to God the Father. That's John 14, verse 6. If you reject Jesus Christ, you reject truth. For Jesus said in Romans 1, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth in their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. So you have a connection with thinking to hearts. Futile in their thinking, darkness in their hearts. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Apart from God, we reject truth. Apart from God, we reject Jesus Christ, who is the truth. And if you reject Jesus, you choose death over life. Proverbs 8, verse 36. Whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. All who hate me love death. Now that is wisdom speaking, but God is the source of our wisdom. Seeking anything apart from God results in death. It is no coincidence that our godless culture outside the church seeks after and celebrates death. And produces death. Rejoices in death. And encourages death. Because those who hate God love death. So those who hate God love the way to God, or hate the way to God, hate truth and hate life. And this should be no surprise then to hear that in our former lives, apart from Jesus Christ, we were dead. We didn't know God. But now by His grace, we're moving out of darkness. We've moved out of darkness into His light. He's opened our eyes. He's changed our hearts to know Him and to love Him. But those who are still in darkness still live in that reality. They don't know Christ. They don't know life. They don't know truth. They don't know love. And the Holy Spirit testifies here in Ephesians 4 that this lifestyle, this old way of thinking, is to be associated with whom? Who live like this? Who live in darkness, ignorance, hardness of hearts? Verse 17. I tell you, and insist on it in the Lord, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Don't live like Gentiles. Paul made this point previously in Ephesians 2 and other epistles. We don't make class distinctions here in the church. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And we don't recognize anyone according to the flesh any longer. Now you can say, I'm from a Greek town, I have a Greek background, or my parents were Gentiles, that's acceptable. But you're not a Gentile anymore, Christian. You're not a Gentile anymore. Gentiles live in sin, Gentiles live in darkness. You're not among them anymore. What are you then if you're not Gentiles? If we don't consider you, us, if we are not considered Gentiles, what are we? We're Christians. We're Christians. And if we don't make class distinctions, what do you call Jews who believe in Jesus? Christians. Those who believe in Jesus Christ are Christians. Jew and Gentile have been brought together into one body. If we still want to make that distinction within the church, or that distinction of Jew and Gentile, if we still want to make that, we're denying the work of Jesus Christ. If we still want to make distinctions, if we believe there are different ways of salvation for different ethnic groups, we deny the work of Jesus Christ. If the Gentiles have one way to God and the Jews have another, we're denying the work of Jesus Christ. Did Jesus tear down the dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile? Yes, He did. Praise God for that. Did God reveal His mystery to both Jew and Gentile that are equal in the kingdom and both have heavenly access to the Father? Did God do that? Yes. Praise God for that. Did the Holy Spirit really give all of us the spirit of adoption? Yes, He did. Are we all sons of Abraham, if we have the faith of Abraham? Yes, we are. We're part of the same olive tree, the same tree of life. We are the new humanity, the new creation in Jesus Christ. We are the new Israel of God, both Jew and Gentile alike. And you can tell right here, Paul says, don't live like the Gentiles. Well, if you're a Christian who used to be a Gentile, that makes sense. I'm not a Gentile any longer. And if we're not making class distinctions in here, we don't have need for Jew and Gentile identities. We're all in Christ. We are Christians. Boys, why don't you slide up a little bit closer? My voice isn't carrying very well this morning. All right, can I see your eyes on me? Good job. The Lord be with you. Who can raise their hand and tell me who was the first person who was ever made? Who was the first person ever made? Cassie? Adam. Okay? And we, because we're human beings too, we are born from Adam. Adam and Eve. They're our first parents. Who can raise their hand and tell me? Think hard about this. Whose fault is it that sin entered the world? Lee? Ours. Okay, give me a... You're right. Give me a person. A person's name. I'll give you a hint. See previous answer. Eve was deceived. You're right. She became a transgressor. But whose fault was it? Who took the fall for that? Lee? Satan deceived us. Yep, he did deceive us. But Adam took the fall. God blamed Adam for it. Eve became a transgressor. She was deceived. But Adam became, he was the one to blame. Now, who can raise their hand and tell us who died for our sins? Who died for our sins? Jesus. Thumbs up, yes. Thumbs down, no. Did Jesus die for our sins? You're right. Thumbs up, you're right. Good job. Okay, now can I see your eyes on me? Jesus is also called the last Adam. The last Adam. And when we were sinners, we're part of first Adam. But when we're saved, we become part of last Adam, Jesus Christ. So I want you to think really hard now. If you ever, raise your hand, if you've ever, please don't. Have you ever done something you shouldn't have done? Like not tell the truth during a children's message. Okay, some more hands went up. All right, hands down. I appreciate your honesty. When you do things that are bad, are you following Adam? Or are you following Jesus? If you do something bad, are you following Adam or Jesus? Adam. If you're doing something good, are you following Adam or are you following Jesus? Jesus. Okay? So I want you to think about times when you're playing with your siblings and you start to fight about a toy. Are you following Adam or Jesus?
Adam.
You're right. If you're kind and you're helpful and you're loving your siblings and you're honoring your mom and dad, are you following Adam or are you following Jesus? What do you think, Trevor? Adam or Jesus? No, you were right the first time. Jesus, right? Jesus. So I want you to think really hard when you leave church. Actually, before, when we leave the worship service. When you want to do something that's mean, when you want to do something that's bad, I want you to ask yourself, am I following Adam or am I following Jesus? If you're going to do something good, are you following Adam or are you following Jesus? All right, and let the Holy Spirit help you in that. Okay, let's pray together. We fold hands, please. Close your eyes. Please repeat after me. Father in heaven,
thank you
for making us
and saving us
in your Son, Jesus.
Help us, Lord,
by your Spirit
to follow Jesus
and not to follow sin
in our Father Adam.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos. Good job. You can head back to your seats. Yeah. Go this way. So now in this section, Paul, again, to repeat, is warning those who have been saved. You've been saved in Jesus Christ. Don't go back. Don't go back to the darkness. Don't go back to ignorance. Don't harden your own hearts. Don't live like that. Don't walk like dead people do. Why? Verse 20. Paul writes, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, put off the old man, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new man, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Now, as I mentioned to the children, the old way of thinking, the darkness, the hardness of heart, that's old man, that's old mankind, that's old Adam. We're not in Adam anymore. You are in the new humanity. You're in the new mankind, Jesus, in Jesus Christ. And that's how our Lord wants us to live. Live new lives. God's people are saved to be holy. You were saved to be holy. God's people are saved to obey. God's people are to love God. Boys and girls, how do we love God? I should see boys' hands up because this was a memory verse last year in cadets, right? How does Jesus say you love me? You keep my commandments. How do we love our neighbors? By obeying God's commands toward our neighbors. Now, to be clear, we are not saved because of our obedience. It is not on the basis of our obedience that God saves us. Nothing we do can compel God to save us. That's not grace. And we are saved by grace. We are saved by Christ's unmerited favor. This is not your own doing. It is a gift. You've done nothing to earn it. Your salvation is a gift from God. It's not as a result of your works so that you can boast. So clearly here, Paul's not describing this new way of life as a way to earn salvation. That's not at stake. You've been saved. What he's describing here is the new life to which you've been called. It's the new walk. You're a Christian, act like a Christian. You've been saved, act like it. Walk in newness of life. So, how do God's people walk? What guides our lives? What guides our thinking? Verses 26 and 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Three verses. What's the theme in those verses? Anger. And what does Jesus say anger is? It's murder in our hearts. Right? Where does God tell us not to murder? In the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not murder. Okay, let me give you another example. Paul writes, among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity. Sexual sin. Where have we heard that one before? Seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, verse 28. He who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Sound good? How about verse 25? Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we're all members of one body. And then chapter 5, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Deception. Ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Lastly, I think you can guess where I'm going with this one. Verse 3, second half. But among you there must not be greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Verse 5, for all of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. There's your tenth commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Now, this should not surprise us, brothers and sisters. God has this pattern of saving people and giving them his commandments on how to live. God saved Israel out of Egypt and gave them the Ten Commandments. And remember what he said to them on Sinai. In Exodus 20, verses 1 and 2, before the Ten Commandments, he said, God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. What did God do for Israel? He saved them. He saved them by grace. He called them out of slavery to be his people. So what was the first thing God did for Israel? He saved them. And then he told them how they are to live. Grace, law. He saves them and he tells them, be my people, obey me and love me. Earlier we heard from Deuteronomy 13, God's people were about to go into the promised land. God gave Israel his commands again. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, what do we get? Ten commandments. They're about to go in the promised land. He gives them ten commandments. This is how you are to live. And then he warned them not to live like the Canaanites, not to live like the wicked Gentiles. Don't live like them. Don't act like Gentiles. It's the same principle applied here to the church. You are new by God's grace. You've been saved. You are no longer in Adam. You've been redeemed from the slavery to sin. What should we do now? Walk before God and be blameless. If you are a son of Abraham, have the faith of Abraham. If you have the faith of Abraham, do the things that Abraham did, like love God, obey God, serve God, honor God, and walk by faith. How do you do that? Keep his commandments. Israel was to enter the promised land, to take every square inch of the promised land in obedience to God. What are we supposed to do? Go forth and disciple the nations. Every single one of them. We've been given all things. And we are to disciple all those pagan nations in darkness, those who worship false gods, who are still enslaved to sin, dead in their trespasses. And we go forth and we walk in God's ways, and we take every square inch of this creation in obedience to our Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray.